grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson you have in front of you, so I will not reread it. I will refer to some similar actions of Jesus in Matthew 8 and 9. Pastor Dave's preached for 6 months of 5, 6, and 7. My favorite two chapters in Matthew are 8 and 9 because of all the miracles. We'll get to that in a minute. I preached on this text 15 years ago. And it was concentrated then, the beginning of the school year, so I preached about education. What a different world is education today. So different today. So many things changed. The big change was COVID, where we weren't allowed to come to church, we weren't allowed to go to school, and the teachers didn't want to return and teach when they could. They still held off and held off. They wanted to teach through the videos, visual aids. And that came about, and then so many other things came about. The transgender idea came about, and the school got involved here in deciding what parents should be deciding. So many other things were involved there with education that we really get to the point where it doesn't become very individual anymore. The kids weren't in the classroom, and we found out as we look today, the scores on everything in America have come down in the last 5 years. I have learned mathematics, all tables and everything like that. All of these, they don't do that anymore because you got your computer. Matter of fact, I've told the school at Osage, they don't even give homework because they know the kids that just do it on their computers. So you don't have the personal education that we have. And this is the point I want to make today. As we look at the miracles of Jesus, we're going to find out he didn't do it just through something else, but he was very personal in his ministry. And I wasn't going to do this. I decided one night, I showed a little photo 15 years ago. I said, wasn't going to do it today because you can't really see it. But the reason I'm doing it is because Pastor Dave decided to sit in the front row. And he maybe wasn't here 15 years ago. So, here it is. The pastor gets out of the pulpit, comes down to the front row, and puts his finger on the nose of this guy there, and a couple over here says, I've never seen Father Fosdick get this specific before. So I wasn't going to. My wife said, don't do it. Anyway, this is the whole point of being specific in our teaching and in our preaching. And this is what we need to learn. If you want some examples of being specific in teaching, I see a young lady back in the back, and you want to see some teaching, sit in on her class some days and see how she teaches and how she is loved by her students and everyone else, because you have to explain very simply. You don't preach over people's head and teach over their heads, but you get very specific in your preaching, because when I preach the law, every one of you in this congregation should feel your shoes pinching. And when I preach the gospel, every one of you should feel free. That's what it's all about. And preaching must be the law and the gospel. In Jesus, there was a lot of gospel, yes, but he had some strong law in his preaching. We're looking at different miracles before this one today. But back in Matthew 8, we have there the centurion from Capernaum that came to heal his servant. We have Peter's mother-in-law being healed. We have all of them gathered at the gate. They were coming around there, all those who were sick and possessed with devils and evil spirits, and they were healed, all that were sick. This was the beginning of his ministry, very early in it. And then he had these two crazy guys, the loco. They run around, they couldn't hold him back and try to keep him in chains, and they went crazy because they were possessed by many devils. And he cast out those devils. And the words today, he said, Ephphatha, be open. And many different things. He said, be healed, or your faith has saved you, to the sick of the palsy. But in this one here, the words of Jesus are in red in this Bible. And there's only one red word in there. After the devil says, will you let us get in that herd of hogs when you cast us out? We know you're going to do it. We know you can do it. We know who you are. He said, go. That was the end of that miracle. Except for the hogs going over. But then there were some others that are included here. The two blind men received sight, the leper, and whatever. But the fact about his healing is he was so personal. So often he looked up to heaven. A couple of times, the raising of Lazarus, and even with the man in our text today, the word in here is sigh, but some people that translate the Bible said it really should mean he groaned, because it was sin in the world that made him so weary to deal with sinners who have been so led astray. And he sighed, and then he looked up to heaven and personally cured the guy. This morning on the news, I heard we got a new saint. Did you all hear this? A new saint, the Pope this morning declared a new saint. 15-year-old boy died of leukemia when he was 15. And today he was declared a saint because he has performed two miracles. Did you hear that? That's how you get to be a saint. It takes years to back all this up and prove it happened. And okay, after 2 years, the Pope said they have proved it. He performed two miracles and he is now a saint. So as you look it up, and as I looked it up, because I didn't even remember it. This happened, I think he died maybe 10 years ago, could even be more. But two different people came to his gravestone and prayed for something at his gravestone, and God said yes and answered their prayers. So he healed. We know better than that. We know who healed them. And we know it didn't have to be at the gravestone. It probably be in the dark of the closet or in your bedside when you're just in pain and sorrow, don't know what's going to happen to you. Those are the times that the prayer is there. But it's not us. That's the whole thing. We are so weak and frail, we can't demand anything of God. We don't deserve anything but death and damnation. But because of Jesus and his blood on the cross, we can come to him in the day of trouble and we can ask of him. But I, as a pastor, don't have that power. Same way as I told you about a month or two ago when I was preaching, I told you that I counted up over 63 years of ministry how many people I'd converted. You remember that? Remember how many it was?
Zero.
Zero. that we cannot do it. I cannot convert anybody. I cannot heal anybody. This is God at work through us. The work of healing, the work of bringing somebody to Jesus is up to God. But we are the instruments. In these cases, you're going to find out back when the guy, sick of palsy, what happened? How did he get there? They carried him and let him down through the roof. This guy, the guy that was deaf and dumb and impediment in his speech, he decided, there's Jesus, I'm going to go see him and see if he'll heal me. But no. If you look at the text, they brought him to Jesus. And with Jesus, we get that very special care. He comes to us when we need it and where we need it. And he is very personal with us. And he was showing that in the healing of this man here. That he is there for him personally. And he didn't make a show of it. We have healers out there today that still have big healing services. And then they do, okay, come watch us do it. And many of them have been exposed over the years for having fake healings and whatever. The old Westerns, Gunsmoke even, I saw that on there, where the fake healer there. And then they found out he was fake. So, hey, we saw him heal those same people over Wichita. And this is what we have, but the healing is from Jesus, and he picks out when and how he is going to heal. And he doesn't want all the publicity. So he took the man aside. Did you notice that? Before he did it, because somebody says gross what he did. Spit on his, put it on his tongue and pulled fingers in his ear. But that's what he did to show the man, because the man couldn't hear, he couldn't speak. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to open your ears and I'm going to loosen your tongue. And then he lifted his eyes up to heaven and healed the boy. The very personal ministry that he performed on him. But he does the same thing. I'm sure in your life, you can remember times when you're at wit's end, maybe by the bedside of a loved one, or maybe losing your job, or this summer waiting for rain for the crops, and I can't do anything about it. We can pray. Remember I told you years ago, another illustration, I hope you remember it, that this sunny day like today, and this lady comes to church, an old lady lived out on the farm, and she was carrying an umbrella. And there's a, what umbrella? Sunny outside. Because I'm going to ask the pastor to pray for rain today, because our crops need rain so bad. I like that. Never forget that illustration. Because when you pray, the Bible says you pray believing. Believing that God can and God will do it. But yet you have to add that little phrase, if it is your will. Lord. Because he knows what is good for us. And he knows what would hurt us. And it might be what we're praying for would hurt us while we think we can't live without it. And yet God said, no. They really don't need that. Bill, you don't really need to win the lottery, for it's almost $2 billion. So don't pray you're going to win the lottery. I'm the one that has won the lottery many, many times. Because I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life. So that's how come I won. All that money that people spend, you know, millions, and it has to be billions of dollars you're spent, people trying to get rich quick. But there is no easy way. And our ministry now as pastors, we must point out the very things that Jesus points out. We must show where the power comes for the healing, where the power comes to convert souls to Jesus. That it all comes from God. And when you come to church, on Sunday morning during the sermon, what do you come for? Sometimes people say, I didn't do anything out of sermon today. Did you hear the law and gospel? If you heard the law and gospel, you got something out of the sermon. But some people think they didn't. But that's why the sermon does need to be personal. I didn't come down and put my finger on your nose, but it has to be personal where people have to know he's preaching to me. Not that guy. That guy's, boy, I bet he's squirming in his boots about now what Pastor Doughton and I was saying. But it's about me that we learn that I have sinned and fallen short. The same way as I had a member for years up there with me with 4 years ago, but he always said to me, John 3:16 is personal. God so loved Rip Stisser that he gave his only begotten son. And I had to admire that because every one of us should make it personal. The Great Commission, again, go make disciples. Again, we have to take it personally. It's our duty to bring people to Christ as these people brought this man to them. So the preaching must be personal. And I found out throughout my ministry that probably the best time to reach people, to be personal, and maybe to reach them with the law and the gospel is a funeral service. In the funeral sermon, that's where people are listening. They want to hear it. They need to hear it. And they better hear it. Law and gospel has to be there. We sit at a table with a Baptist minister that's a lady where we live now. And the next table over, there's another man that's a retired Baptist minister who's in charge of the whole state of Missouri. And so anyway, I'm between two Baptists there. But she was talking about funeral sermons, how she loves to do them. But she loves what she's saying. And I said, the reason I like funeral sermons is because people are open, and this is the time they receive law and gospel. She said she was the backup for the mortuary in town. There was only one there, and she was in the Appalachians, and so I said, I'll do it. And she said, I did so to these people I never saw them in my life. And I said, I have a hard time bringing any comfort at a funeral for someone that I had no idea whether they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. The funeral must be law and gospel, yes, but the pastor is giving thanks for God bringing the departed to faith. And that's the victory. And if I can't declare victory at a funeral sermon, it's going to be a pretty drab sermon. But that's the way it is. You can't give any assurance about somebody. Oh, they, good old Uncle Joe, he'd do anything for anybody. Never hurt anybody. But that doesn't make any difference. When people tell you, oh, this, he was such a good guy, and he went to this church, and so he's going to be saved. I said, if he believed in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, going to church doesn't save you. It's believing in Jesus that saves you. And so in our preaching like this, it must be personal. You must know that I am talking to you when I preach the law. You must know that you're guilty. You deserve death and damnation. But then you must see about Jesus on the cross, where he came and took our place. And all of our sins, all of our wickedness in our lives, that he took those upon himself and gave us forgiveness and the assurance of life everlasting. When Jesus said the word Ephphatha, immediately the eyes broke. And one other thing I want to mention that comes up in here. Have you ever been told a secret? But you cannot tell anybody. can't even tell your spouse. I've had many times you can't even tell your spouse a secret. You know what's the best way to spread a rumor or whatever you want to spread? Is say, don't tell anybody. Right? Because it's inside of you and you want to let it go out. And Jesus, several times, you know, this was, text today was late in his ministry, and some people, he said that late in his ministry because he wanted them to look to him instead of look to the miracle. But he said the same thing early in his ministry also, not to tell anybody because he wanted them to see this was just part of who he was, not something that they would come and believe because they saw the miracle. That's why when he fed the 5,000, remember? They followed, thousands followed after him, but what did they want to do? Make him an earthly king, put a crown on his head, and he'll feed us and lead us and protect us. And he is the earthly leader we need. And he was very discouraged after that. He ran away and hid by himself. So the gospel is very personal. And so for you and me today, he's there for each one of us. If you're alone, somebody here is lonely, remember what Jesus said after the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always. You think you're alone, you're not alone. That Jesus is right there by your side, the good days and the bad days. I am with you always. Are you in need of some healing? That you're weak and heavy laden? What Jesus said, cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. He is a refuge and strength for you. If you're weak and needing strength in your sickness, God is our refuge and strength and never failing help in time of trouble. But you want to be assured that he is there for you and listening. Follow up on that refuge and strength. My very favorite part of Psalm 46, and I think it's again in Psalm 37. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. He is the one in charge of my life. He is the one in charge of all my loved ones, of life and death. He is the one that makes the rain to fall, the crops to grow, brings the harvest about. It's God alone can do that. We can't do it. But God is the one. And that's what he wants to teach us. Just be still and know that I am God. You think, well, Pastor, it's say a lot, but I just try to live as a Christian. I try to be strong. I try to witness. I try to pray, but I just can't do it. Then look at St. Paul. What he said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you think you don't have enough funds to make it through your lifetime? And inflation caught up with you and can't take care of yourself? Just remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he's going to take care of you. Look at the birds in the field and the trees, how God takes care of them. Or maybe you have that sin that lays heavy upon your heart, and you think, my sin was so great that God can't forgive it. Then you need to go back. Go back to David. And sometimes God has to work on us pretty hard to get us to admit it. Remember, I finally got him take the fault in Uriah. Had to send and had to hear a story about the man, the sheep, and the man had one sheep. Who is that man? You are the man. And this is what we need to find out, that we are the ones that God cares about, that he seeks, but then my sins are forgiven. He said he would never hold our sins against us if we confess our sins. No matter how large or how small, he is faithful and just that he will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, you're afraid of death. It's going to come. How many times have I said that we never know anyone here whether we're going to be here tomorrow yet? But look to Jesus, the one who came and died for us. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. May that be our hope, our assurance, that Jesus cares for me today. Amen. And now may the wonderful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus hold us tightly in the faith until life everlasting.